Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure, as always. If you just tuned in, we're glad you're here. If you've been listening already, we're glad you're still here. We consider that a sign of high intelligence. You're going to be glad you did because Allison Diebold is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. She's the founder of Diebold & Associates. She's an expert in helping companies make sure that they don't that they make it through the minefields of the marketplace without killing themselves, without blowing themselves up. And she's here to talk to us again about some of those things that you and I need to be focusing on to help us have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Allison, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you back. One of the things that I know that you talk a lot about, Allison, is what you call emotional decision making. People who use emotions to make decisions. And, you know, I don't think I'd want to work for a company that was what I would call a flatliner company, where there's no emotion, there's no excitement, there's no energy, mm-hmm. there's no, you know, everything is driven 100% by the statistic and you know, it's just pretty much cut and dry. I don't think I'd like working for a company like that. I'd want some kind of emotion in the company. But at the same time, you got to be careful where emotions can only take you so far, can't they?
I agree entirely. And really what we see as a trap for young companies that are really growing is decisions based on emotion but not based on pragmatism or market conditions or future thinking. You know, like you, I want to work for a company that has enthusiasm. I want to work for a company that has emotion, excitement.
Even fun.
Optimism, fun. Those are great emotions, and those are great decision-making emotions. What we really see is small companies that make decisions based on fear, which is such a trap, and it becomes fairly reactive. In other words, when market shifts occur, if a company reacts and makes decisions because, oh my gosh, our competitor is doing this, or oh my gosh, numbers are dropping and we need to quickly scramble, those can be the worst, most deleterious kind of decision makings because they are not particularly well thought out in general, and that's where we've really seen clients and companies have a hard time.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me to see that when you were talking about that, it made me think of the automobile industry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the automobile industry has completely done a 180 in the last 6 months. The U.S., the GM and Ford especially, have done a 180 in the last 6 months just because of higher oil prices. Now, I've always believed that the high oil prices were temporary situations. Now, it's permanent enough that if it affected the way people buy cars, and I understand that the GM and Ford want to sell more cars, but what is it that I feel like that they've made emotional decisions about their car manufacturing decisions? I feel like they've been very emotional on what I consider to be really a temporary thing. Now, are gas prices ever going to go down to $2 a gallon? I don't think so, but I think that they're eventually going to get down to where they were a year ago when they were selling plenty of trucks and SUVs.
I think that's exactly right, and I think they did use emotional decision-making. Their businesses have been so hurt so drastically and quickly that they have been scrambling. They may have lost sight, though, of what Americans have been enjoying for years. One thing I do think that they could have done more effectively is rather than create such a sea change in their marketing strategies and in their production strategies is simply pay attention on a smaller level to new kinds of options.
Mm-hmm.
Because really what's going to happen is if prices do go down to last year's levels, and I agree with you. I think that's going to happen. Americans, some of them are going to continue to be a little bit shell-shocked, and they're still going to want those new options. But others are going to want to go back to the big SUVs or pickup trucks that we have known and loved for years.
Well, the point that I was, the thing that I was thinking about is I think that the car company should be focusing on more energy efficient cars. I think that's a good idea, but why did they wait till gas prices went through the roof and then act like that they had a knee jerk reaction to that? Even their PR didn't handle it very well. They should have been saying, "Oh, we've been planning this for years."
Right.
So folks, you know, when we come back, we're going to get Allison to help you and me become a little more deliberate, a little bit less emotional about some of the decisions that we make, and to help us to have a better chance at success. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Allison Diebold.
Well, I was moving down the road in my V8 Ford. I had a shine on my boots. I had my sideburns low. With my New York brim and my gold tooth display, nobody.
We're back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Allison Diebold. Allison is the founder of Diebold and Associates, and we're talking about emotionally driven decisions. Allison, before we go any further, why don't you tell the audience how we can find you, how we can find you online, and a little bit about your company.
Absolutely. So I'll tell you first, our website is DiboldAndAssociates.com, DiboldAndAssociates.com. And DiboldAndAssociates is a marketing and public relations agency based in San Francisco. We were founded just over 11 years ago now. And we work with companies in technology. For example, we've worked with Amazon.com. We work with healthcare companies. We work with consumer companies. And we really help them develop their whole communication program and not just say, look, here's something you can do in the next 3 weeks, but we help them develop a vision over long term. We work with a lot of small companies, and we work with some bigger ones, too. So we've seen the gamut of what they can do in the business world.
And isn't one of the ways to eliminate the emotional decision-making to think long-term instead of short-term?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You want to look ahead 18 months, 24 months, and longer, not look ahead the next 3 months. And it's hard to do, particularly when you're just getting going and there's so many things flying at you.
Mm-hmm. And and especially if you're young enough that you don't even, your business is young enough that you don't even know if you'll be here 18 months from now.
That's exactly right. It's hard to think about when you're, you know, if you're, well, and this is a little younger than the kind of company we talk about, but if you're really just getting your office set up, for example, it's tough to think about 36 months down the road, but that's the important way to look.
But shouldn't you identify, wouldn't it be appropriate to say, okay, this area, I really, even though I should think long term, I just can't right now, but this area, you know, I've got to plan for success. I mean, even though you don't know if you're going to be here 2 years from now, mm-hmm. or even if you've been around 5 or 6 years, maybe you don't know if you're going to be here 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
But while you're making plans for tomorrow, you got to believe and plan for some of what you're doing has got to plan for the future.
You know, I think that's exactly right, and I think that's part of what really having a solid business plan will accomplish for you. Even if you don't, nobody knows if they're going to be around 5 or 10 years in the future, but that's what you have to plan for. So develop a business plan, and if you're really young and you're still figuring it out, at least develop a skeleton outline of what you would like your company to look like in 2.5 years. I would like us to look this big and have this kind of product line or this kind of revenue stream and have this many employees. Just get an idea, because that's your goal that you're working towards. If you don't have long-term goals, if you just have shorter-term goals like I want to win 3 clients in the next 3 months, that's great, but that's not building a foundation for a real company.
Well, and for example, you know, when you're talking to customers, some of the prospects you're going to have will allow you to close them now. And so you want to have, you want to try to get that business in the door right now. But there are some people who are going to take a little longer. They're going to be a little bit harder to close. They're going to be a little bit higher maintenance maybe. But you can see that if you can ever get their business, it'll be really good. And so those are the people that you want to say, okay, if I'm here in 2 years, I'm going to have their business in 2 years, or their business is what's going to get me to 5 years.
Sure, it can be making your wish list of top 10 clients over time and saying, this is my wish list, this is what I'm going to be working towards over the next 2 years or the next 4 years or whatever it might be. But you can prioritize that wish list and understand it's a wish list. It's not a failure if you don't get them all. But, again, it's creating a template to work on, and I think that's critical to success to business as you're getting going. And even as you're a younger company, if you've now met the two-year mark, great. What is the next 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Keep looking ahead. I think that's so critical.
And it'll help you avoid crisis management, which is the biggest killer of any business, large or small, is crisis management. Crisis management, to me, is well, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Many years ago, I worked for a guy, and I was one of his executives, and we had a company that was getting sick, and I went to him one day, and I said, hey, boss. I want to identify something for you that's really going to, I think it could take us down, and I'd like for you to pay attention to this, if you will. I've been doing some work on it. He said, Jim, is this going to kill us today? And I said, no, it's going to kill us in about 18 months. He said, I can't deal with it right now. I got today's alligators to fight.
Oh dear.
I never could get him to pay attention to him. Guess what happened in 18 months?
What I predicted,
and well, we became dinosaur, and so if you've got sometimes the alligator that's chomping on you right now can cause you to be so emotional you can't look strategically at what could hurt you down the road.
You know what, I think that's such a trap that companies can fall into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I want to touch on briefly is certain kind of innovations that companies can use even if the markets are down. We know that certain industry sectors right now have been very hard hit. One thing we're helping clients do quite often right now is look within their overall industry and see if there's a particular trend that can become a new kind of revenue stream mm-hmm. for them. For example,
Hold on to that thought, Allison. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, Allison's going to talk to us some more about some of these innovations.
Sure.
Remember when we were talking earlier, I guess it was end of last week, with Joel Barker. He talked about things out on the verge. These are some of the things that Allison's talking about. She's without saying out on the verge, I think that's what she means. We're going to be right back. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. That's Fleetwood Mac bringing us back to you. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 10 till the hour. No, 7 till the hour. I'm sorry. 7 till. 53 after. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, come in. Use our stuff. We'll let you hang out with us without any cost. You don't have to tell us who you are. If you want to subscribe to my free newsletter, we'll ask you for your email. Otherwise, just help yourself. Allison DeBall is with us. She is the founder of DeBall & Associates, and we're talking about emotional decision making. And one of the things that you gotta focus on, though, folks, also is innovation, and innovation, business innovation, is key in the 21st century, isn't it, Allison? I mean, you've got to be able to pay attention to what's coming around the bend at you and take advantage of it.
That's exactly right. And what I'm thinking of in particular is business innovation in the face of significant market downturns. Right now, in the economy, certain sectors, finance, real estate, are two of the big ones that have been very hard hit. A lot of people are losing businesses or losing jobs. One thing we've seen is the ones who are able to plow through are those who look within their industry and identify a trend that mm-hmm. they can capitalize on. And just as one example, what we've seen is, you know, we all know that in the real estate industry, there are many different businesses that depend on home sale transactions.
Oh, yeah.
Those have all dropped. So mortgages and mortgage brokers have been very hard hit mm-hmm. in the reduction of traditional mortgages. What we've seen, for example, is a resurgence of reverse mortgages. That's a trend, and the mortgage brokers and mortgage brokerages we have seen that are beginning to work heavily in reverse mortgages, boy, they have a revenue stream that did not exist before, mm-hmm. and that's a significant improvement for them. One thing we
it's
have...
Kinda, it's kind of like what we used to call making lemonade out of lemons.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. It's tough. It's I'm not even sure I'd call it quite lemonade.
but it's not capitulating.
No, it's putting some of the ingredients in the glass and
yeah,
it's starting
yeah.
to stir.
But it's not capitulating. It's like when the I've used this example recently before, and that's like the travel agents. When the airlines started going online, the travel agents had to realize that they weren't going to make their living with business travel. They had to start doing vacations
yes.
more.
Yes.
And some survived and some didn't.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
yeah.
One thing that we have worked with that we've seen in our own client roster is we have a fantastic company called Pillar to Post, which is North America's largest home inspection company. They typically, a buyer who's buying a house will hire a home inspector and get a home inspection done. Well, obviously, their numbers dropped off dramatically mm-hmm. when home sales went down. What we did was we looked with them at the market and what was going on and realized that pre-listing inspections were a nascent trend. Pre-listing mm-hmm. inspections are where the seller, before the house goes on the market, has a home inspection and then repairs whatever is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So they can sell the house for more. The realtor is helping the seller get the best valuation, and the buyer walks into a house that's already clean and inspected.
Right.
So we really
and therefore it changes the attitude about the buyer of the buyer because they've got a little peace of mind going in, whereas otherwise they would have had to have done it post first inspection.
That's right.
The first time they went in, and so the first time that they walk into the home, they've already got a little peace of mind, and that could be the difference in a sale or not a sale.
It certainly could be. It helps sales transactions go faster for higher valuations.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was becoming a trend. We helped Pillar to Post develop this as a trend by working with media to announce it as a statistical
mm-hmm.
trend. Once people see it in the media, it becomes
commonplace. They start asking for it. Yeah.
Yeah, they start asking for it. And Pillar to Post has really been able to capitalize on that pre-list home inspection trend as a way to circumvent some of the downturn in the real estate world. It's
so what could we what we need to do then, everybody else listening to this right now, should get their people together, have a little creative brainstorming meeting and say, okay, you know, how have we been doing business? If that's not working right now, how could we turn that upside down and focus it in another direction?
Yes, and I really encourage them to look at trends. What are small streams of business right now that you could build into something bigger? It's not mm-hmm. maybe not going to be an obvious solution, but this is
right.
where creativity comes in.
Well said, Allison. Give us that website again, please.
DiballandAssociates.com, DiballandAssociates.com.
All right. Hey, Allison, thanks for being here. Will you come back another day?
I would love to.
We'll have you back soon. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Allison Dibal, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. We've got a lot more. She's got a lot more to teach us, and she'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.